Okay, let's pray, folks. Lord Jesus, we cannot begin to describe how wonderful you are. We cannot appreciate all that you've done for us. Yet help us now just to catch a glimpse of your majesty, your love, of the glorious person you are. Amen. Well, what's your view of Jesus? That is, do you ever get bored listening or hearing about Jesus? If so, can I suggest you may never have understood just how amazing he is? You might have a half-baked view of him as just a simple teacher, or perhaps a noble martyr. If so, I'd like to shatter your images of Jesus today. For Jesus is incredible. There are things about Jesus that you may have never seen before. At times the Bible erupts in praise as the writers struggle to take it all in. And we see this especially in the readings we've had, Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1, which is our focus today. And as I look at these verses in Hebrews, I hope you'll see that Jesus is worthy of our worship. In fact, he alone is worthy of it. So why would we ever settle for anything less? So two main points today. God has spoken and God's Son revealed. So God has spoken. He didn't need to speak. But he has spoken. And this itself is amazing. It indicates how much he loves us. We can know God because he has spoken. But first, I'd like to clarify two matters. Is God unknowable? And are words reliable? Is God unknowable? Well, yes and no. He is so different to us. He is creator. We are creatures. He is holy and good. We are blinded by our sin. So, yes, it's impossible to know God through our own efforts. He is a mystery, yet that mystery has been revealed, for he himself revealed himself clearly to us. As John writes, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So God is unknowable, but the unknowable God has made himself known through his Son. The second clarification then, are words reliable? Can they convey truth? Well again, yes and no. Words get a bad press today. Look at the catchphrases that are out there. All tend to show that we cannot trust words. Spin doctors in the media and in politics, whether it's on the right or the left. Social media silos and echo chambers. Postmodernism. You know, truth is all relative. And more recent ones. Virtue signalling. Cancel culture. Fake news. Words and truth seem irrelevant in a post-truth age. Can words really convey meaning and truth? Well, yes and no. It depends on who is speaking, doesn't it? True words spoken honestly do convey truth and meaning. In fact, there is nothing else that can, because words are essential. That is, it's impossible to truly and fully know the mind of someone else without words. Just think of it. There's no substitute for true and honest words to know someone. There was this couple. She says, "Do you know what today is?" He, "I reckon so. We started going out a year ago today." She's impressed, but then silence. As the silence continues, so So many doubts and questions arise in her mind. Why doesn't he say more? Is he having second thoughts? Maybe he doesn't like my new dress, or he's cross because I burnt the toast, or, oh no, it's my hair. Today I've got a bad hair day. Do I need to see a counsellor? How will I tell my mother? Meanwhile, let's flip over and see his own emotional reactions a year ago. Ah, I remember that day well. Yes, I had the ute serviced. Probably due for another, I reckon. But those spark plugs, they were a bit crook. Maybe I should go for Bosch next time. They cost a bit more, but yeah, I reckon I'll go for Bosch. You don't understand the mind of another by guesswork, do you? You need good, honest communication. We can understand the mind of God because he's revealed himself in his word, in words that we can understand. God speaks plainly. Again, he didn't need to. But God speaks plainly. And think what a great gift that is. The gods of the Greeks did not speak plainly. The Greeks had to look for omens in the entrails of goats or go to oracles who spoke in strange riddles. They had to guess. But our God speaks plainly. What was a mystery has been made plain. Even a child can know Christ. Karl Barth was perhaps the most famous and certainly complex and complicated theologian of the 20th century. He was once asked what he believed. He replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Now, we don't need to be a professor of theology to know that Jesus loves us, for the Bible tells us that plainly. God has spoken through his Son. His Son is the key to understanding God's revelation, his word. And yet there are two errors that Christians often fall into. The first is that they ignore his revelation. They seek God or answers in dreams, in ecstatic experiences, in prophecies and such like. The New Age movement is thriving as people seek answers apart from God. Even in the church, we see it. I found a Buddhist mandala in an Anglican church in Melbourne. I've heard the Apostles' Creed rewritten so that the Holy Spirit becomes some life force that has more in common with Star Wars than with Scripture. Buddhist concepts of meditation, yoga relaxation, mindfulness are frequently taught in schools and even Christian colleges. We are ignoring God's plain revelation and turning elsewhere for answers to spiritual matters. So that's the first error. The second, we read his revelation, but without the key, without Jesus. How do you approach the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament is not redundant, as some would say. Rather, it's a book of promises that were fulfilled in Christ. As Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved." God has spoken through his Son, and this includes the Old Testament. Are you reading the Bible? Are you reading the Old Testament through the lens of Christ? God spoke through his prophets and through his Son. Are you listening? Well, the second part I want to address is God's Son revealed. God has spoken in the book of Hebrews about his Son. And in the first four verses, there are 9 or 10 claims about Jesus, each one of which is mind-blowing. And I'll deal with these claims under three heads: Christ and creation, Christ and God, and Christ sat down. Christ and creation. Christ created and sustains all things. Did you know that? In Hebrews, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he created the world, and he sustains the universe by his word of power. Again, it's picked up in Colossians. For by the Son all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. And in John, all things were made through him, and nothing was created except through him. See, Jesus creates and sustains all things. Now think what that means. The one who gave bread to the 5,000 created that wheat plant, as well as the soil, the water, the sunlight, the air that give life to it. He who calmed the sea created it with a word. He made the tree that formed his own cross. He made the iron that formed the nails. Hands that flung stars into space, as the song goes. As Son, he will inherit the creation he's made. Now, traditionally, the firstborn son usually inherited the farm. And many of us know the difficulties that this can cause. Do you divide it up so that what remains is not viable? Or does one inherit the lot? Well, Jesus did, or will, inherit the lot. Everything in creation belongs to him. But what is astounding is that we don't miss out. We, his brothers and sisters, get to share in his inheritance. Well, Christ and God. Jesus is God. But the cults try to reduce Christ. They deny either that he was God or that he was man. So don't believe the lies that are out there, that are told by the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Christadelphians, the Muslims, the Unitarians. They all try to reduce Christ. But John is clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, human. In Colossians, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And in Hebrews, he's the radiance of the glory of God. Now, Hebrews has already spoken of Jesus as the divine creator, and it picks up his divinity in two ways, two further ways. So he's the radiance of God's glory. Moses' face glowed after coming from God's presence. But his radiance was just a reflected radiance. Christ's radiance comes from himself. He is the radiance of the glory of God. As John says, we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And secondly, Hebrews says that he is the exact image of God's nature. Now, before photos, people had to rely on drawings. And the reliability of what was drawn varied. My daughter, Mary Ann, will tell you anything you ever wanted to know about the royal family. When King Henry tired of yet another of his unfortunate wives, he had the artist Hans Holbein draw and send him a picture of a beautiful princess, Anne of Cleves. Unfortunately, the painting was too good, and Henry was not impressed when he saw the actual original in person. The marriage did not last. all because the image was not an accurate copy. But Christ is the exact image. In ancient coinage, the head of the emperor imprinted on the metal was an exact match of the stamp on the die. Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature because he is God. He is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus is God, his creator and sustainer of all things. Glory radiates from him. He's the splitting image of his Father. Does this lift your understanding of Jesus? God has spoken. Are you listening? And finally, Christ sat down, as Peter's told us. He who was sitting at God's right hand knelt at the feet of his disciples. But Hebrews tells us, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where does Christ sit? Well, when you've done something especially important, you might get to sit in a special place. So the guest speaker will sit at the head table. Well, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Majesty. You can't beat that. In the ancient world, the only one who might dare to sit in a throne next to the king was a co-regent, you know, a queen or a prince. The fact that Jesus gets to sit next to God shows that he and he alone has the divine right to do so because he is God. But why did he sit? Why did he sit down? Well, because he'd finished his work. What were his last words on the cross? It is finished. Meaning that all that had been prophesied in the Old Testament, all that Jesus had come to do as the Lamb of God who bore the sin of the world, that had been finished. Do you know that your sins have been purified? Past, present, and future sins. So today, when you sin, Jesus doesn't need to stand up and do some more work. He doesn't need to go back to the cross and be re-crucified. No, his work is finished. He sat down. He cried, "It is finished." That does not mean that Christians will not sin anymore. Of course we will. But the power of sin over us is defeated. The penalty for sin has already been paid in full. Do you know this? Not just in your head, but in your very bones. Do you know that when God looks at you, he sees you as his beloved child without the taint of any sin? Now, Heidi may correct me. Her husband, Jacques, is a silversmith. But as I understand it, when silver was purified in past times, it was heated to oxidise the dross. That dross disappeared, leaving pure metal. When we have been purified, our sin and shame, our guilt and fear vanishes. This is what Christ has done. He's borne our sins, destroyed them in the furnace of the cross. The heat of God's anger against sin destroyed sin on the cross. Sin no longer has any power over us. You can walk out of church today a free woman, a free man. That lifelong burden, that secret shame, is lifted from your back today. God has spoken. Are you listening? We are purified by Christ. His work is done. Our sins no longer stand between us and God. God has spoken. He's spoken by his Son. Christ sat down after making purification for sin. Jesus is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of it. Why settle for anything less? God has spoken. Are you listening? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to see you as you are. Help us to love you, to worship and adore you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Help us from this day to serve you faithfully. Amen.